Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. Learning to manage robots. Hi, friends. Welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. My name is Rebecca. Today is January the 7th, and we are on our technology article. The title is Your New Workforce. So we'll be talking about the changing nature of work and some of the new participants that are joining the workforce. But first, I'd like to welcome Peter to the program.
Hi, Rebecca. Hello, everyone. Nice to be here.
Peter, it's great to have you on the program. Now, we have a very interesting article today, and it has to do with AI, but it's a little different. We've talked a lot about AI in the past on Advance.
Yes, we have.
And I envision we'll continue to do so as AI becomes a huge part of our work and private lives. But before going further, I'd like to ask, Peter, what kind of tasks are you outsourcing to AI? In your personal life or here at work? What kind of things are you outsourcing to AI?
Mainly in my personal life at this point, particularly last summer, our dog had an injury, was bitten by another dog, and we had to take her to the hospital, and then there were complications during the recovery. And throughout the whole time, I discovered ChatGPT to be very helpful in giving quick, thorough, specific information about questions that my wife and I had about how to treat our dog and what might be wrong with her, what would be the best approach. Now, granted, it wasn't information that we couldn't have gotten through some Google searches, yes. But it was like doing 10 Google searches in the time it takes to do one. In terms of the information you would get back, we could just type in a bit, like our dog is walking around the apartment, not settling down, very restless, panting. What does this mean? What should we do? And in seconds, we would get a thorough, researched answer from ChatGPT that was very comforting during that time because my wife and I are not professional dog veterinarians or anything. So, yes. Yeah, that's and for other things since then, less dramatic things, I've also used it in that way. And yeah, mainly it's speed and thoroughness. You know, again, it's not something I couldn't do myself with a few Google searches, but it just does it in a fraction of the time. So,
Peter, I completely agree with you. I actually use AI a lot for searching right now. I do a lot for searching for information. And just like your explanation, we could find it on Google. But a lot of times it's just so much the speed of AI is just so fast. I've been using Perplexity. I think Perplexity is a very good tool when you're looking for facts and research. And if you're in academia, I'm sure you're already using it. It's very, very good for it. Very thorough, precise answers. So I've been using Perplexity a lot, and I've been using it more and more in Google, less and less. So that's a huge shift. Another area I use it a lot for is translation. It does really wonderful translation. In the past, part of my job was I had to translate a lot of materials. A lot of time it's our news, our press releases, a lot of the public-facing stuff that we need to have in both Chinese and English. I would translate from Chinese to English. But these days, my job is so much easier because a lot of that translation, I throw it into ChatGPT, or more often I use Claude. Claude is a very good AI tool for translation. Claude, AI, Claude. That's by the company Anthropic. And I use that a lot, Claude AI. And the precision and the speed, it has saved me so much time. So yes, even in Advanced, our magazine process, we are also continuing to explore ways to incorporate AI into our workflow. But that's still a work in progress,
yes,
isn't it?
That's a work in progress.
We discover that AI is very good in certain things. It's very good in writing, but in other things, like for example, in editing, in other areas, it's not as good.
Right. Doesn't make as much of a difference.
Yeah. So we're learning, like, what are the pros and cons of AI? Because just like human workers, AI also has its pros and cons.
Sure.
So we're all exploring that. But friends, we need to get into today's article. So let's get into our first reading for the day.
Your new workforce. How CEOs can lead in the age of AI agents. We may be the last generation of CEOs to lead fully human workforces. That isn't a futuristic prediction. It's a reality already taking shape inside businesses today. AI agents, once imagined as distant possibilities, are stepping confidently into our organizations. These systems are capable of autonomously handling tasks across departments, making decisions, and learning over time. This shift isn't just technological, it's operational and cultural. It's not about replacing humans, it's about augmenting them. We're entering a new operating model, one where human users and AI agents work together in tandem to drive outcomes with speed, intelligence, and scale. In this model, AI agents become active participants in the workforce, not passive tools. The implications for leadership are profound. AI agents are not simply software add-ons. They are redefining how we design our business processes and collaborate on our daily work. They're collaborators in the broadest sense, and like any collaborator, they benefit from thoughtful integration and clear frameworks.
Peter, we start off our article with a statement that is it stops you in your tracks. You stop and think right away.
Mm.
And what is that?
Yeah, well, it is dramatic. We may be the last generation of CEOs to lead fully human workforces. And yes, that sounds like the copy that you see on a poster for a science fiction movie. You know, they were the last generation of CEOs to lead fully human workforces. And then the machines took over. But I don't know about taking over, but certainly the machines are playing more and more of a role in our workforces today than really at any other time in history. Although it does depend on how you define what a machine is.
Yes.
I mean, we've been using machines for over 150 years, ever since the Industrial Revolution.
Yes.
So, but yeah, in the sense of AI, in terms of what the machines are doing now, they are doing more things that humans used to do than really ever before, I think.
That's true. But it's a very good point. We've been using machines since the Industrial Revolution, right?
Yeah.
That would be like the mid-1800s.
Roughly,
We've been using that, you know, for now over 150 years. But the pace and also the scale of the machines are changing a lot of our workflows. And then we have a term here that we do have to define is AI agent. We need to define this because we're going to be using this throughout the article. And a simple definition of AI agent is it's basically a software program that uses AI to perform tasks on its own without needing constant human help. So AI agents, they can interact with the environment, they collect data, they make decisions, and they keep adapting and changing with the new information that it gets. Yes. So today we'll be talking about the use of AI agents at work. Okay. Well, Peter, so how are AI agents being used at work now?
Right. Well, they're being used in various kinds of ways. What we'll see over the course of this two-day article is that there's three main areas that the author talks about, and that's sales, customer service, and operations. These are places where AI agents are, as it says here in our paragraph, stepping confidently into our organizations. These systems, these AI agents, which are kind of like digital robots in a sense. They're completely machines. There's no human being there, but they exist really only online, whereas a robot, you know, you could find that on a factory floor somewhere or in a restaurant even, but these are robots that exist only online, an AI agent. And they are capable of autonomously handling tasks across departments, making decisions, and learning over time. Autonomously, big word there, just means they can do it themselves. To be autonomous means you are in control of yourself, so they can do it without humans telling them exactly what to do something autonomously.
Yes, and we already have a lot of things that are autonomous. For example, autonomous vehicles,
right?
Self-driving cars, mm-hmm. right? Like on the streets of California, I think in some places they have self-driving cars. I haven't seen a self-driving car yet in action here in Asia where we live, but in some places in the world, there are self-driving cars on the road already.
Sure, yeah.
Yes, and that's one example of autonomous, like something, a device that is autonomous. It can make decisions on its own, and it executes it. And what is very interesting about AI agents is they learn over time.
Yes, right? Interesting and a little scary.
Yes, they have a great capacity to learn, and that's also why having them is so useful, because they are not static. They keep making progress. They keep learning. And then let's continue. This shift isn't just technological. It's operational and cultural. So having these AI agents, it also helps in our operations, our day-to-day running of the company. And there's also some impact on culture as well.
The way we think about it, the way it leads us to view our work and what kind of priorities we set. It, when it says it's not just technological, it means it's not just a new set of, you know, equipment and wires and chips or anything. It's a much broader shift that's happening than just on the machine level.
And then these AI agents, they're not replacing humans. They're augmenting them. Oh, now this is a wonderful word, Peter.
Right.
Augment.
Good word there.
Yes.
Yeah. You might hear that in some sci-fi movies or action movies. They'll talk about, oh, yeah, he's got these specially augmented powers, you know, an augmented human being, like Captain America, basically, in the Avengers movies. You could say he's an augmented human being, a super soldier, which shows you the meaning of the word augment, to increase the value of something, to increase the amount, the effectiveness of something, to increase, you know, whatever quality you want to put there of something. And in the case of a human being, you know, to increase their athleticism, their flexibility, and so on and so forth. And with machines, it's about how machines can augment human beings in their workplace. We're not talking about fighting cosmic supervillains in this case. It's just about how to do our jobs more effectively, augmenting our productivity, the productivity of human beings.
Yes. And then so the author goes on to say we're entering a new operating model. So we have a new way of working, basically. And this one is where humans and AI agents, they work together in tandem. I love the word in tandem. So in tandem, it's just two people or two organizations. They're working closely together and they're doing it very, very well. So that's in tandem. I think of the tandem bikes. Have you ever, you and your wife ever used a tandem bike?
We have not. We enjoy biking often, but we have never used a tandem bike. That's, you know, they call it also a bicycle built for two, and it's a single bicycle with two seats on it and two sets of pedals, one behind the other. And so you can see two people at the same time riding the same bike. Just a brief pro tip here. This is basically a redundant bit of writing here where it says AI agents work together in tandem. To work in tandem means to work together.
Yes.
You don't need to say both, but it does help to understand the word. To do something in tandem means to do it together with someone else, like two people riding a bike.
And do it well. If you're doing something in tandem, you're working together well. And this drives outcomes with speed, intelligence, and scale. We're definitely going to come back to scale because that is one of the most important reasons we're using AI at work. We're hoping to scale things. We're hoping to broaden our scope at a much faster pace. Scale is very, very important in our article here. And in this model, AI agents become active participants. So now they're actively participating because these AI agents are able to work autonomously and they can make decisions, so they can act on their own. They're not just listening to our instructions.
Right.
And that's the biggest difference between AI agents and just giving ChatGPT instruction,
right,
like translate my document.
Right. Now, we've given them instructions.
Yes.
They're not just doing what they come up with on their own, but they are taking those instructions and running with them, as we say. They are taking those instructions and leading to thinking about it on their own, analyzing it, and coming up with ideas instead of just constantly waiting for feedback from the human being on how to proceed.
Yeah. So you can kind of think of the AI agent as a very smart assistant.
Yeah.
Like, we've always had secretaries and assistants, you know, like for as long as office culture has existed, I think there's always been a secretary or assistant for the leaders. But these days, you can have a very smart AI assistant where you give them an instruction and they will think on its own and they will do what you need it to do and make the decisions on their own. They don't have to keep coming back and ask, hey, Peter, what should I do now?
Right, right.
What should I do now?
I did what you told me to do. Now what do I do?
Yes.
Do this. Okay, I did that. Now what do I do? No, in this case, you can say, do this, you know, achieve this goal, and the AI agent will go off and do it until it's achieved the goal instead of constantly checking back with you. Unless you tell it to check back with you every 5 minutes because you just want to monitor the process. But you don't have to do it that way.
Yes. And because of that, we move on to our next paragraph. They're redefining how we design our business processes and collaborate. Peter, is collaborate almost the same as cooperate?
It's similar. There's definitely overlap there. Cooperate means to work together. Cooperate usually has a nuance to it, a sense to it that differentiates it from collaborate. To cooperate is used in a situation where cooperation would not be likely. You would say, these two people, they normally don't like each other, but they had to cooperate in order to get this project done because they were assigned to do it. Collaborate, again, which means something very similar to cooperate, to work together with a person or a group to achieve something, but you would use the word collaborate in a more neutral sense. You hear it often in the theater from where my background is. The director and the actor and the costume designer and the lighting designer, they all collaborate together to make the finished product, the play. It's the same in film. And there is not a sense of these people would normally have nothing to do with each other or normally don't like each other, but they had to cooperate in order to get something done. That's where you would use cooperate. Collaborate is like, oh yeah, me and my best friend are going to collaborate on this new project, and it just means we're going to work together without that nuance of it being a challenge of some sort.
Yes, and collaborate is very interesting. When we talk about collaboration, we're often talking about creating something new. Like many examples you gave us is like in the arts, right? Mm-hmm. Like in film and art and theater, also in the sciences, we are creating something new. So there is a little bit of a component of new. Something new is coming out of this collaboration. Well, let's continue. And before we go on, we still have one more word we need to get to. It's integration. And to integrate something is just combining two or more things together so they work well. So we're also learning how to integrate these AI agents into our workflows. On that note, let's get into our second reading. We'll talk about these AI agents' nature.
The nature of digital talent. From what we've observed, organizations may benefit from shifting how they think about their workforce. Digital talent, like human talent, performs best when it has structure, support, and clear purpose. Some companies are already considering how to onboard digital agents, define their roles, measure their performance, and create environments where human and artificial intelligence complement one another. One notable strength of digital talent is its scalability. Once aligned, AI agents can be rapidly deployed across geographies and business functions. They operate continuously, adjust to real-time data, and remain consistent in execution. When deployed intentionally, this can open new doors to agility and resilience. Another shift we've seen is in how human capacity is being reallocated. As repetitive manual tasks are passed to AI agents, employees are free to focus on higher value work, strategy, creativity, complex problem solving. This unlocks not just efficiency, but also engagement. In a world where innovation is a differentiator, enabling people to do what only people can do becomes a strategic advantage.
Peter, we continue talking about digital talent. Now, this is an interesting use of the word digital talent because in the past, when I heard the word digital talent, I think about our human staff, our human colleagues who are very good at technology, right? Digital talent. That, for example, that could be our IT department, our IT colleagues who handle our computers and software. Or also we think of the people who like do digital marketing, like our people who do social media and they do all the our online advertising. I think of them as digital talent. But the way our article uses this is a bit different, right? What are we talking about here when we say digital talent, like human talent? They need support, structure, and purpose.
Right, right. Well, digital talent in this context means talent that exists only in digital form, not a human being or beings using their talent for digital work, but, you know, like with the AI agents, these are employees that exist only in digital format. And it's a very interesting observation here by the author, or perhaps discovery that she's made, that digital talent performs best when it has structure, support, and clear purpose, like human talent. So I find that comforting to know that digital talent needs the same things, broadly speaking, the same things that human beings need. Obviously, digital talent doesn't need sleep, it doesn't need food, doesn't need to take bathroom breaks, but it does need structure, support, and clear purpose.
Yes. And then companies are trying to understand, how do we onboard them? Now, to onboard someone is basically when you have a new hire, you hire someone into your company. There's an onboarding process. Basically, you teach them what they're supposed to do, and then they can work independently or semi-independently.
Right.
There is a process when someone first enters a company and you need to get them involved and understanding the processes of the company. That's right. The onboarding process. So now they're thinking of, how do we onboard these digital talent, these AI agents? And then, you know, define their roles just like human beings, measure their performance, and then we create an environment where humans and AI, they can complement. So complement means you have your strength, I have my strength. Let's put our strengths together to do a better job. And the next point is really, really important. Why are we using all these tools like AI agents? It's because of scalability. Peter, can you explain scalability?
Yeah, scalability, it's kind of a complex term, but there's a simple way to understand it. It means the capability of being easily increased or adjusted, which could be an increase or a decrease, being easily increased or adjusted on demand. So it basically is talking about how quickly you can expand something or contract it, make it smaller, decrease it if you need to. And that digital talent is very scalable. It has great scalability. You can, cover this range of data, this range of information, or this range, and it'll be much easier for the AI agent for digital talent to make that change much more quickly than it would be for a human being.
Yeah, and they're very scalable. The reason is because they're continuously learning, right?
Exactly.
We have to go to sleep. We have to take care of our families. We can only work 8 or 9 hours a day in most places because of labor law. You can't work people like 15 hours a day unless you pay them for 15 hours, right? So the difference of AI agents, they're constantly learning and they're just soaking up new information and they are changing the way they act based on the new information. So they're very, very important for scaling. And just like Peter, what you said, like when we scale something, we can easily make it broaden its scope, broaden what it can do. And it's basically a system or a process can handle more work, or they can have more users use this product and the performance does not suffer. Now, this is very important because with human beings, a lot of times when we want to broaden our scope, if you give a person too much, there's two possibilities. One, they actually burn out.
Yeah.
The staff burns out. It's just too much for one person. And we see that all the time, right?
Yeah.
In every industry. And the second possibility is they don't burn out, but they give you crappy work.
Yeah.
Like, for example, maybe, Peter, you tell me to write 4 articles a month for Advanced, and I can do 4, no problem. But now you're like, well, Rebecca, I'm giving you 2 weeks. Now you have to write 12 articles.
Yeah.
And it'll be very hard for you to find 12 articles that are just as good as my 4.
Right.
Because, you know, I'm limited. I'm a limited human being
with
limited time and limited brain power.
Mm.
But with a lot of these AI agents, they can do your 12 articles. And that's kind of the whole promise of AI in the workforce,
yeah,
is to help us scale. And then, Peter, can we explain a little bit when they're talking about scaling? They're talking about moving into more countries, more, you know, geographically, and also business functions, right?
Right, right. And a good word there that the AI agents can be rapidly deployed across geographies, across business functions. Deployed means to be sent out with a task. Usually you just hear it with regard to military scenarios,
yes.
Armies. The soldiers were deployed to the battlefront, and these soldiers were deployed in this part and for that task. But we use it also here to talk about the deployment of AI agents. And Rebecca, like you were saying, they operate continuously, adjust to real-time data, and remain consistent in execution, which, when deployed intentionally, this opens doors to agility and resilience. Agility, sort of a word that means a flexibility, like the flexibility that a dancer has or a circus gymnast. And resilience, the ability to bounce back, the ability to learn from a mistake and keep going and improve.
Yes. And the second promise of AI is we are supposed to move on to higher level tasks if the AI can do some of this more repetitive and lower level tasks. So in our next paragraph, we see that another shift is how human capacity is being reallocated. Allocated, to allocate something just means to give someone their share of a total amount. Let's say I have a pie. Now I give Peter one piece, I give Linda one piece, I give myself a bigger piece because I love pie.
And Peter calls for a reallocation of the pies.
Perfect, exactly. So to reallocate means we redistribute or we give each person a new share of a total. And then so part of the promise of AI is we're hoping a lot of these manual, repetitive tasks that we don't like to do, we can give it off to AI agents, and then we can focus ourselves on higher value work. Now, that's our intention. Whether it's always possible, not really.
Yeah, yeah. But there's a great line there, right, near the end of the paragraph, that doing so, giving over this sort of work to AI agents, this unlocks not just efficiency, but also engagement. Engagement meaning how excited we are, we humans, about the work that we're doing. And with AI doing more of the repetitive tasks, and that sort of thing, we can be more engaged in the work we are doing, more interested in it, because it plays off of things that humans do better than machines.
Yes, very good point. Well, friends, this brings us to the end of today's article. Definitely come back tomorrow. We want to talk about some of the challenges of using AI agents in our workforce and also some of the promise of AI agents to help make our lives better. So please make sure to come back tomorrow. I'm Rebecca.
I'm Peter.
Saying goodbye.
Bye-bye.